morning. Welcome to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week we're going to talk about the farm. I have farmers Rob and Diane Stockhouse from the Stockhouse Farm on Puget Island and CSA, and we're going to talk about some events coming up and markets and what you can do on the farm and cookbooks and all kinds of stuff. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Ann.
Okay, so let's see. Let's try that. That sounds better. Okay, so let's start. There's an agricultural summit or gardening summit coming up, so let's talk about that.
Yes, Ann, we're sponsoring. That is the Wakayakum Food and Farm Network, Washington State University Wakayakum Master Gardeners, and the WSU Wakayakum County Extension Service is sponsoring our fifth annual Ag Summit, which is really aimed at the backyard grower, vegetable grower, and small orchard farmer this year. And that's going to be on March 20th. In Cathlamet at the River Street Room on River Street, downtown Cathlamet. And for more information, you can call us 360-849-4145. This year, it's entitled How to Grow Your Own Groceries, a workshop for urban and rural growers. Registration will begin at 8:30 on Saturday, March 20th. It's $20 per person or $35 per couple. So registration 8:30 to 9, coffee, tea, and muffins locally made. At 9 o'clock, Todd Murray from Washington State University, Skamania County. He is the extension agent there. He'll be talking about organic pest control for your vegetable garden and small orchard. Should be a great, great talk. Mm-hmm. At 10:45, Linda Eggeman, who actually was at our fourth annual summit last year, she'll be talking this year on planning your vegetable garden and organic composting. And she, too, is a master gardener. She's secretary of the Oregon State University Master Gardener Association in Oregon. At noon, you'll have an opportunity to sit down and eat and chat with the speakers and participants. The lunch will be provided by Master Gardeners and the Food and Farm Network. 12:45, Heather Havens will be talking about soil amendments for better vegetable gardening and more productive small orchards. So she is the general manager of Concentrates Incorporated in Portland, and she too is a master gardener. Following that, a short coffee break, and then at 2:30, Glenn Andreessen will be speaking on his topic, Ready, Set, Go, Starting Seeds for Your Vegetable Garden. And wrap-up will be at 4 o'clock. We're, again, looking forward to a wonderful small meeting. Last year, there were about 35 to 40 participants. So you do have an opportunity to sit down at lunch and talk to the speakers one-on-one.
So now this is open to anyone.
That's correct.
Washington, Oregon, or wherever.
We would love to know that you're coming. And again, if you're going to come, give us a call 360-849-4145, and we can get your name down. That's so that we'll have a good idea of how much soup to produce for lunch.
And maybe how many chairs to put out for the
That's speakers. Right. And if you can't get back to us, you're welcome to just drop in at 8:30 and sign up.
Sounds great. That sounds like a great event for all of us gardeners who, repeatedly make the same mistakes or different mistakes every year. Maybe have a better shot at a good garden this year. If you didn't get those phone numbers, you can call us at the end of the program, and you can talk to them. Okay, so that is the Ag Summit. Let's talk about the farmers market.
Well, Farmers Market is we're gearing up for that again. May 7th, Friday, May 7th, we're kind of the other Farmers Market. We're not on Saturday. We're not on Sunday. And we're also at a farm. As far as we know, we're the only Farmers Market in the state of Washington that actually takes place on an active farm. And we'll go Fridays from 3 to 6:30, May through October. We typically have 3 to 4 vegetable vendors. We have 2 meat vendors, meat by the cut, all USDA processed. We have goat, beef, lamb, and pork, usually on a weekly basis. We are looking for additional vendors, and if you're interested in vending any handcrafted goods or locally grown, please get in touch with me, and I'd love to talk to you.
Great. Now, in addition to those, to the vegetable and fruit and meat, there's also people that bake things, right?
That is correct. Yes, we have artisan breads, and we will have artisan pies again this year.
Great. Okay. And so then people come with maybe jewelry?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so this is every Friday starting at 3 o'clock. But then that means on Friday you have to get up there.
That's correct.
Now, is the ferry is, if you're coming from Oregon, the ferry's probably the best way to get there.
It's right? Definitely the quickest way. If you leave the Safeway parking lot.
You're talking about in Astoria?
In Astoria at about, let's say if you wanted the 315 ferry, if you leave the parking lot about 2:30, you'll have no problem making the 315 ferry, and that'll put you at the farm at 3:30.
But then if you're coming from the other direction, Clatskanie, you need about, 20 minutes, 15 minutes?
About 15 minutes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And we try Wakayakum Acoustic Guitar Society plays frequently. We will have an amp, mics, and speakers set up every week this week. And if you're out there and listening and you love to play the guitar or any other acoustic instrument, you're welcome to stop by and grab a chair and play or just sit down and listen.
That sounds great. Okay, so why is this market on Friday where everybody's on you just want to be on a different day?
That's a good question. We started on a Thursday, and we moved over to Friday. We didn't want to compete with the market in Longview, and of course on Sunday, you've got the market down here in Astoria. And it fits our schedule in terms of harvesting. And Diane and I also have a CSA, and we deliver, actually people pick up on Friday, and we deliver here in Astoria on Saturday.
So that just works. It works good.
It works for us, and it works for our current vendors.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also have quite a few people from the Portland area, Seattle area, who own places on Puget Island, and so they come down on Fridays, and they really like to come down, stop at the market, and then go to their houses with produce that they've just picked up. So it kind of works for the local community.
Right, you get fresh bread, meat, and produce for the weekend.
That's yes.
Right.
It's a full meal deal.
It sounds great. Yeah, that sounds good. All right. Anything more on the market? No, we're good. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call here at 325-0010. You're listening to Dig in the Dirt, and I'm Ian Goldine, and I'm with Diane and Rob Stockhouse.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine, and I'm with Rob and Diane Stockhouse, and we are talking about what's all things farm, vegetable, fruit related. Okay, so Diane, let's talk about what's happening on the farm right now.
Well, it is spring, and you can tell that by looking at what's going on at the farm. And fortunately, February weather has been so nice.
we always get this tease in February yes. when people think it's over.
Well, we were just talking about that with some people last night about you just can't be too confident at this time of year. But the soil is warming up, and especially if you have coverings over any of your gardens, hoop houses or plastic or whatever, that's kept it a little bit warmer and a little bit drier. You can get some things started in the ground now. And in my hoop houses, I have onions and all the coal crops in, lettuce, beets are coming up, carrots,
How many varieties of lettuces have you got in there?
I have one mixed. I have my own Diane's specialty lettuce mix, and I have that planted. Mm-hmm. And then in my greenhouse, I have some romaine and some nice little baby butterhead that I'm starting from seed in the greenhouse, and then I'll transplant out. They could have been direct seeded, but they're much easier if you don't have to, in my opinion, if you don't have to thin them. So I start them in the greenhouse and then set them out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, lettuces, all kinds of lettuce and greens, chard, kale, all that kind of stuff, if you have it protected and your soil temperature is 50 degrees or above. And I use my soil thermometer a lot because you just don't know what that ground is really doing unless you take its temperature. So as long as it's 50 degrees, you can do all the cooler weather things. Mm-hmm. Carrots are a little bit iffy right now, but I put some in anyway. You never know. Could be the right time.
Right. Now, if it's the wrong time, the seeds just sit there and rot.
They just sit there and they don't do anything. So mm-hmm. it's good to put out a little short row or a little square and see what happens. And then in a couple of weeks, you do it again. And, you know, if you're lucky, that's good. And if you're not lucky, you haven't wasted a whole lot of time or
now,
seed.
If we have a bunch of seeds sitting around from last year or maybe other years, that'd be another thing to do.
Yes.
Try them out. I mean, the only thing you have to lose is if they don't work, then you get some more.
Yes, exactly. And I have pretty good luck with using old seeds, although I don't put all the old my hopes in the old seeds necessarily, but I'll go through the old seeds and many things last 2 years for sure.
Uh-huh.
And it's expensive to buy seeds. I think we all know that. And if you have a small garden especially, you just don't use them all. So try to, I think, first the first thing to do would be to try to buy seeds with another farmer, another grower,
mm-hmm.
so that you can share those seeds. And that allows you to get a few more varieties. You don't have to worry about having so many seeds left over. But then if you do have seeds left over, go ahead and use them and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing that I think a lot of people forget is in the fall, they could use them up then. If it's something like chard kale or broccoli, something that could handle the winter.
Yes. And
throw them in then.
Yes. And I think we should try to stretch that fall winter growing as much as we can and plant them in your hoop house if you have one, or use plastic, the clear plastic to keep the worst of the weather off and mulch. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But if it works, it's fabulous to go mm-hmm. out in the winter and gather all this stuff that you've grown. And mm-hmm. going to the grocery store after you've had your own garden is not nearly as much fun.
No, well, then it becomes a supplement.
Yes.
You know, a supplement like peppers that where we are, you know, in Astoria, forget peppers.
Yeah.
They're not going to happen, or eggplant.
Yeah.
But then we don't have to buy the regular stuff, all that green.
All the green stuff you should just get out of your garden if you possibly mm-hmm. can, or a neighbor's garden. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody else is successful, and little environments are different even farm to farm. So somebody may do really well growing greens that you don't have luck at. So share and get to know your neighbors and mm-hmm.
Okay, see what you can do. I noticed you didn't mention spinach.
Spinach. I put spinach out yesterday. So spinach is one of those greens that's very good to get in early, and you can be eating it long before you think you can.
Are there varieties that you have better luck with on spinach?
There are some that are, especially, I think all spinach does well in the early spring and the fall. But there are some varieties that do better in the summer. And but, you know, we don't worry too much about the summer, especially in Astoria and even on Puget Island. It just doesn't get hot enough to worry too much about that hot, hot summer. But there's still some varieties that do better. And your size.
Our well, summer is only about 2 days long most of the time.
Okay, well, I actually haven't grown spinach for a couple of years because I'm so sick of it bolting.
Yes.
The early spinach doesn't grow, and then the later spinach bolts, and I just feel frustrated.
Yeah.
I put some starts in the ground this weekend, and I'm hoping that they'll do better.
I think spinach is a little bit tricky to grow, and I think one of the things to do is to use a lot of well-composted manure. They like lots of nitrogen. They like more nitrogen probably than anything else I can think of.
Uh-huh.
So I generally get bagged manure and use quite a bit of it when I'm planting so that you just keep it really high nitrogen. Spinach likes to grow really fast, and if it does, if anything happens to slow it down, it's going to bolt.
Oh, okay. So definitely more fertilizer.
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. That sounds good.
Think I don't, nitrogen.
Lots of nitrogen. Okay. I don't have that kind. I don't have access to that kind of. Well, I guess I could buy manure.
Yes, we buy it in a bag at Lowe's, or, you know, there's places where you just buy it in
Home
20
Depot,
pound bags.
Home,
I think
about 40 pounds.
40 pound bags.
Home Depot also has it. It's steer manure. And it costs about $1.20.
Okay.
So it's good to have one of those bags. You just rip it open and then use it as you
what about
want to.
I leave an open bag out and it fills up with rain.
Well, that's better. It's much better if you keep it out of the rain.
Okay.
You really should. Keep it under a tarp or, okay, you know, in the corner of your garage or something like that. And then it stays dry and it's very easy to put on. And it doesn't say certified organic on it, but the organic guru, I can't remember her name, said they approve it for use in organic gardens. So I don't know why that is, but mm-hmm, we use it without worrying about it.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back for a second to the eggs. No, not to the farmer's market. I have a question. Is the beef grass-fed and the, all that meat, the goat and the pork and the...
That's correct. It all comes from farms on Puget Island,
mm-hmm,
and it's all grass-fed. Fed grass finished, so okay, it's not finished on corn as you would see beef, for instance, at a typical feedlot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delicious.
Oh, good. Okay, I think that's important for people because people who know the difference know that that's a lot healthier for them.
Yes.
Okay, how many varieties of carrots?
Oh, well, maybe four or five.
Well,
we grow the early carrots. We have purple carrots, that beautiful color, the white satin carrots. There's winter hardy carrots. So there's quite a different variety and different, slightly different tastes. You know, if you want one to eat raw, then the smaller, quickly grown ones are excellent. If you want the ones to cook with, then the bigger ones are delicious and they stay in shape when you cook them and so on. So,
and we harvested all the way into February fresh carrots and parsnips out of our garden, and they are so sweet.
Wow.
Yes. I planted three kinds of beets yesterday, the gold beets, the chioggia, the little striped ones, and then the regular red ones. So a nice color bouquet.
And you planted those outside?
I have them in the hoop house, but I think you could plant them outside now. Beets germinate at a pretty low temperature. So as soon as the ground is about 50 degrees, I think you can put them outside.
All right. I have a soil thermometer. I'm going to go home and check because I put stuff in this weekend without testing the temperature.
You're probably in good shape.
Well, I'll check. It's next to a building,
mm-hmm.
and a concrete foundation, and it's a south, you know, yeah. a south slope.
And the soil doesn't fluctuate all that much with the air, as long as the air temperature, ambient temperature, mm-hmm. stays above a certain temperature. It's not like it goes up and down as readily as the air.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an interesting thing to notice as you're measuring the temperature, is that once it starts to warm up, it doesn't really plummet mm-hmm. again, unless it stays cold for a long while.
Now, do you add compost to your beds every year?
Yes.
And tons?
Yeah, about an inch at least, if mm-hmm. I think the bed is just is still fertile. But if there's a mm-hmm. bed that I feel needs more, then I'll put on the steer manure. I make my own organic fertilizer, and mm-hmm. I'll put that on. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to think, what did I have in there last year? We do a lot of more intensive gardening, and I think most of us do because a lot of people have small plots, and you try to get in as much as you can. Mm-hmm. And that, you have to remember, when you have intensive gardening, that takes more nutrients out of the soil, and we have to add more back in.
Mm-hmm.
Where if you have a huge garden and you have 2 feet between rows, maybe not as much.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a number of raised beds,
which we really compost heavily.
Mm-hmm. And so then now would be a good time to put compost,
yes,
manure, whatever you were putting
yeah.
on.
Now, the only thing to think about there is carrots do not like high nitrogen. So you probably want to choose a area for your carrots that you didn't put the steer manure on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and what about just using compost? The carrots would be cool with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The compost is a nice balance. It's not too much of any one thing, and mm-hmm. that's the wonderful thing about it.
We put a lot of compost on our vegetable bed last fall, and when I was digging up, I noticed the areas where it was the thickest, the clay is the most broken up. The clay
yes.
is the happiest. And I think the vegetables will be the happiest.
Yes.
Okay, so let's move on to the CSA.
Well, we're getting ready for the CSA, planting heavily, taking orders for mm-hmm. customers.
Okay, so we should talk about what is, just in case people don't know, CSAs the last few years in the Lower Columbia region have been blossoming up all over the place,
yes.
from the peninsula to Puget Island to Nehalem and
yes.
everywhere in between.
And a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, it's a produce subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
So the customer pays up front for a season of vegetables, and the farmer commits then to grow and bag and deliver produce on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And our CSA starts the first week of June, so pick up 7th or 8th of June,
mm-hmm.
and runs, I'm sorry, May.
Oh, May, not June.
May. And it runs 29 weeks until Thanksgiving. So you get 29 weeks of vegetables mm-hmm. and a wide variety, whatever is growing in the garden. Carrots and beets and all kinds of greens, peas, green beans, tomatoes, potatoes.
Well, not just vegetables, also some fruit?
Some fruit. We do not grow fruit on our, well, we don't grow very much fruit on our farm, but Little Island Farm on Puget Island grows wonderful melons and plums and apples and all kinds of good stuff, which we include in the bags.
And also the farm at 172, which is also on Puget Island.
They also have wonderful apples and pears. And
great.
Yes, so we try to include fruit when we can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
okay.
mostly in the fall.
And then, so people have options. They can pick up at the farm, which is a cool experience, or they can have it delivered.
Yes, we have pickup points in Astoria at mm-hmm. the health food store or the co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And we are willing to set up new pickup points if we get a critical number of mm-hmm. customers at any one place. But sure. right now, those are the three pickup options.
Okay, so if people want to get in on this, contact information?
We have all the information on our website, okay. stockhousesfarm.com, or you can give us a call, 360-849-4145.
Okay, great. Okay, so now, and you know what's so awesome about CSA is the eaters, all of us, support the farmer. They know the farmer. They know where their food comes from. And you don't have to, really don't have to worry about produce except for the supplemental things for 6 months.
Yes. So if people like their veggies, they're going to love the CSA. Absolutely. And we do offer two sizes. So if you're not a heavy eater or the family is small, then
right, there's
get
a small portion
amount.
Or a large. It's great. Okay. So I want to talk about your cookbook. Diane has published a cookbook, Farm Fresh Produce, Recipes from Stockhouses Farm. And it's a really lovely book with tons of recipes. And that you published this last year?
Yes, that was my winter project last year. Lots of fun putting together the recipes, all veggie-based. There's mm-hmm. a couple of things that include meat or fish, but it's really how to use the produce from the farm.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. Now, you said you self-published this, but you would love to have a photographer and a publisher.
Well,
and
that
make
would
another
be
one?
The dream.
Okay, all right. So we are putting that out there that she is hoping to do that. And you want to write a second one?
Yes, I'm working with our neighbor, Caroline Jennings, on one that we'll try to publish next year. She did the illustrations for mm-hmm. for this current cookbook. Mm-hmm. So she's a great artist, and she's also a good writer, and she can tell wonderful stories about her farm experience. City girl moves to the farm. So that will be kind of the interesting reading part of it, and then I will have a lot of recipes using produce and meats that we grow on the farm.
Mm-hmm. That sounds
so look
great.
For that next year. But well, meanwhile, this one has nearly 100 recipes, all produce-oriented, and it can be ordered through our website, mm-hmm. stockhousesfarm.com.
Great.
Or purchase at the farm.
Great. That would be great. So people come out, they can look at it, they can check out the farm. So you're open to people coming to visit, right?
Absolutely.
That would be a blast. That would be a great trip for someone.
Yes.
Bring
nice
your kids or your
trip.
Parents.
Yes.
And so they probably ought to call ahead.
Call ahead,
yes.
And they could turn it into an overnight. They could stay in Raj's Retreat, our two-room guest cottage that's on the farm.
That sounds like a blast. Well, thank you for being here.
Thanks for asking us.
I want to thank you both for coming again.
Thank you, Ann.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My guests have been Diane and Rob Stockhouse from the Stockhouse CSA and Puget Island Farms.